You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, I'm Total. I'm Total Talk Nonsense with John Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
Oh, my God. Episode.
That was brutal, man.
Should we do it again?
What did we. You mean start the show over?
Yeah.
After we've been dicking around
for
an hour. Yeah,
forget
and a half?
It. It's episode 117, ad hoc special episode.
Special episode.
Because Scott can't be with us tonight.
I can't be in the studio. I am at home. And, yeah, that's about that.
You sound great, though, man.
Thank you. All right, so the big news is we had a gig, John.
Yeah.
January 19th.
Right.
That we had to cancel. We had to cancel right. A gig because Rick has pneumonia.
Pneumonia. Can you believe that?
Pneumonia.
And we talked last week about him not looking so good.
No, he didn't look good. He sounded the worse than he did the week before, and he looked about the same.
Yeah.
And you were the one who said, dude, man, we don't have to do this gig. He was going to try to do the gig with pneumonia.
Right.
Now, okay, maybe if you play guitar and you don't sing, that's a possibility.
Well, dude, you remember we played Catheter and a Kangaroo Court. This is before you played in the band. Played at, it burnt down. What the hell is the name of that place? The Rock House. And we're drinking, you know, Ham's beer for like a dollar or whatever it was. And Rick was totally trashed, man. He could barely stand up and he was congested and sick and feverish. And I gave him this concoction of pills to take. I said, you take these and you'll last the whole two sets or whatever you got to play. And you'll be fine. And he took them and he started like kind of wavering. He almost fell. You know how in Tommy Boy where Chris Farley falls on that table after he takes a big bong hit in the beginning of the movie?
Right on.
That's about what Rick was going to do. And Joe kind of caught him and said, hey, man. What's the matter? What, are you okay? Oh, no, I just got a little dizzy. John gave me a handful of pills to take, and he said, this is a special cocktail for when you're sick. Joe goes, yeah, but he's 300 pounds, man.
So what happened?
You're not
Rick
set up
it?
For that. No, it worked, yeah. He made it through, no problem.
Well, that's different from actual pneumonia that moisture in your lungs.
Yeah.
We practiced. You didn't record any of that practice, but
no.
More than half the songs he
it
would was
have been worse than the time before.
Coughing and
soul coughing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
So we had to cancel. We went over there anyway, you know. And some
right.
people showed up and we hung out. You know, like TP drove all the way from Delavan.
It was the coldest night in history.
Not in history, but like in 15 years.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which is
quite
a good
cold.
Thing, you know, because that means we would have been out there freezing our asses off
yeah,
loading
right.
and unloading equipment.
Right.
So they Ron rebooked us for March 22nd, which is the Saturday before Easter, which gives us an excuse to wear Easter bunny suits.
Easter bunny suits again, yeah. Which would be great. It was so fucking hot last time.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
Well, Rick. You know, I talked to Rick after that and tell him what the date was, and he says his fever. He didn't have a fever when I talked to him, and he wanted to know. We had a choice. He wanted to know if we wanted to do the bunny suits or reenact the crucifixion.
Reenact,
yeah,
or just portray the people involved with the crucifixion.
Right.
I don't feel comfortable reenacting the crucifixion. But if like you were going to be Jesus and I could be Pontius
yeah.
Pilate, then
yeah,
Rick
I'd look,
could be
I'd look good in a loincloth.
Judas or something.
Yeah.
Then sure, we could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd make a better Jesus than me.
No way. I'd have to get a wig.
Me too. Do you think Jesus was thinning on top? I don't think so.
Maybe.
Dude,
he was the flesh.
He's from
the
Middle East, man. He's from the Middle East.
The Middle East.
He's from Nazareth.
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 Right. All right, so March 22nd, mark that down on your calendar.
Yeah.
Mediocre's got some hoodies. I almost bought one.
I saw that.
I think they only come in double XL. That's not going to be big enough for you, is
that? No.
What?
That's not going to do me.
You need what? At minimum, you need what? Triple X?
Well, with the hoodie, the hoodies.
Hoodie.
With the hoodies, I like them really big, man. So I like a 4X.
I mean, 4X.
Yeah, 3X is big enough, but the 4, I like it because you can just like roll around in the inside of it.
Right. All right. Well, I'll blow.
I grabbed a 3X hoodie the other day, and I was like, yeah, this is nice, but I want to be able to wear shit underneath it and bulk it up, so. You know,
I'll
like
try
them
to see if that's doable, a 4X.
Yeah, I doubt it. Is it 100% cotton? Cotton?
I don't know. It's an illustration of what it looks like. But they're pretty expensive, so I would assume, you know, it's like athletic cut, you know. Because I'm cut to shreds, and I would need something like that.
Yeah, right. You just look like a big gorilla. So we, you know, it was funny, though. We do this. We're supposed to do this gig. We get the word out. Tell everybody we're not doing it. Everybody is pretty much knows we're not doing it. I'm sitting there. Okay, first I talked to you earlier in the day, and I said, yeah, I'm not going. And you're like, what? You're not going, man. You got to go. We got to go. Let's go. Just hang out. Have a couple beers.
Right, right.
All right. Yeah, they'll be there, I don't know, 8:30 or something. How about you? Yeah, 9 o'clock. Yeah, what time do you show up? Like 9:30.
I had to get the kids to bed.
So I'm, isn't that what the wife's for?
No. She never does that. I do that
Come
all the
on,
time.
Come on, say it, man.
What? Say what?
Isn't that what the wife's for?
No. It's not what she's for. She's for cooking and cleaning.
Nah.
Of course I'm kidding.
You are not. No, I'm kidding.
So what's your point?
I would have expected your lovely wife to come out and enjoy some
freezing
cold
is
weather and drinks with a bunch of lowlifes.
The in-laws were supposed to watch the kids that night, but then my wife made the mistake of telling him that the gig was canceled.
Ah.
So then they quickly came up with other plans.
Oh.
If she hadn't said anything, you know, we would have had a date night. We would have blown into the Beacon, you know, 9:30, left at 10, and gone to see a movie or something.
Yeah. 9:30 and left at 10. Whatever.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Anyway, so I'm sitting there, and here comes TP. He walks in. Bush apologist TP. He's been on the show. Very interested in Scott's nuts. So
yes.
I said, hey, where's Scott? And he gives me this look like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You talk too much.
What the fuck are you talking about? And I'm like,
you got a big mouth. You know, you just talk too much.
I'm like, where's Scott? I don't know. And he's looking at me like, what are you fucking talking about? I said, where is Scott? Slower. Like, maybe you didn't understand me. That is Scott. And, I don't know. You tell me. I go, well, what do you mean? He's supposed to be here at 9 o'clock. It's like 9:15 or 9:13, whatever it was. He's not here yet. Well, aren't you guys playing tonight? I go, wait a minute. He didn't call you? You drove all the way from Delavan, Wisconsin, 2-hour drive, and he didn't call you? No. The fucking bald bastard didn't call me.
here's how I explained it. He called me like the day before I knew we were going to cancel. And he said, yeah, I got to work, so I'm probably not going to make it. So to me, that means I'm not going to make it, you know. So then I neglect to call him. I mean, there's a lot of people I got to get in contact with. Some people fall through the cracks.
Cracks, yeah.
So he shows up, and I explain it to him this way. Tony, instead of watching me on stage, you actually get to interact with me one-on-one.
Yeah, you
Isn't
get to
that
touch
great?
Me.
Yes, if you'd like. You can touch me right here. And he didn't go for that at all.
No, no.
I think he was more disappointed that a friend of his didn't show up.
Ah,
because he was the friend of his was the one that told him about the gig.
Oh,
and said, "Hey, I'm going. You better go."
Oh, Dan?
No. Rick. His name is Rick. He's the Alice Cooper guy. What's up, man? You all right? This is great.
Oh, wrong pipe.
Wrong pipe. All right, well, moving on. We're supposed to play March 22nd. Who knows if that's even going to happen? Oh. I don't know.
Oh, dude, wrong pipe.
But that night, you had too much to drink again, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I had...
What were you drinking? Beer? You had like 10
beers?
Yeah,
I had like 10 Blue Moons.
10 Blue Moons.
Yeah, I get home and I felt great, man. We're shooting the shit with the babysitter and I don't know what happened. I decided to come down here and surf the internets and look at some porn. And
in our urethras, we have a little teeny tiny vagina.
And I don't know. I felt great. And I don't know. I kind of don't remember anything, really. I just remember doing certain things, but I don't remember any details. Like, I remember talking to the babysitter, but about what, I don't know. The wife, I don't know what happened. I said something to her. I don't know what I said. I went down here. I don't know what I'm doing. I wake up the next morning, take a shower, I feel great, and then all of a sudden it hits me. And I'm just really dizzy. You know, and you're really dizzy and you're like, whew, and you're sitting there doing that, whew, where you're taking those deep breaths, you know?
So you don't pass out?
Yeah, or throw up. And We go out to breakfast, and I get my typical meat lover's omelet, and you know, I figured, yeah, that'll do me, and I can't shake it, man, all fucking day. I had to take a 3-hour nap.
Nice.
And I couldn't shake it, man. I was hanging like a, and you know, later on that night, I was pretty tired. And, of course, I don't know what I said. I said something to the wife that ticked her off, and she said, oh, well, I was cleaning all day. What did you do? And I'm like, oh, okay, we're gonna do that now. Okay. All right. I painted the basement twice. How many basements did you paint? And I don't know what relevance that had, but that was my big comeback.
Shut her up.
Yeah, shut her down, man.
Right on.
So, yeah, I was hanging. And you look like you were a little liquored.
I was fine.
Yeah, I talked to you. You're like, hey, man, every time I take the last sip, there's another one that presents itself right in front of me.
Well, you know, I only wanted to drink two Knob Creeks, and that's all. And I'm talking to Joe, and I'm nodding yes to Joe. And then this waitress comes over with another drink. I'm like, I didn't order this. Oh, yeah, you nodded your head. What do you mean I nodded my head?
It's like that story you told about being at an auction.
Right.
Kept putting your hand up just to scratch your ear. And oh,
my nuts.
100,000 to the man in the back. No!
My nuts.
Yeah, I don't want to hear any more about your nuts.
All right, then. So moving on. Oh, Gene Yaz wants to come on the show.
Yaz, yeah. Well, they were wanted to come on this week. Matter of fact, they want the whole band.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Yeah, I can do anything. I need some setup time, prep time.
Right.
I could definitely do it.
You know, I'd help you with the setup.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a big help.
Well, the other thing is when we found out that Rick couldn't make it, you talked to Marty and you said, hey, you guys can have the gig. I mean, he's going to be looking for another band.
Yeah, right.
And, they turned it down, said no. We're not ready. Gene Yaz.
We're not ready. Did you hear any of their stuff?
No. Is it online?
Yeah.
You know, I went to their website. I didn't see anything playable. Maybe I didn't look very hard.
Well, that's
Gene Yaz. That's
playable.
G-E-N-E.
Playable is the
Y-A-A-S.
Keyword. Yeah.
The keyword?
Yeah. I think,
all right, well,
I think Marty would sue us if we played anything.
All right. That's fine. Moving on to football, John.
But here's a tidbit of...
A tidbit of Gene Yaz?
Yeah. A tidbit of Gene Yaz.
A Gene Yaz.
Here we go. Here's a Gene Yaz. Here's what you can expect to hear. That's a Gene Yaz.
All right, so they're going to come in and play live, John.
Yeah,
live.
This is Till I'm With Your Sister, I believe.
Till I'm With Your Sister?
Something like that, yeah.
So he's going to sleep with whoever and not remember how he got there until he gets with my sister?
Right.
Is that the deal?
I guess.
All right. Well, it's at Adult Goof Rock. It's carrying over from Catheter then.
Right.
It's picking up where Catheter left off, if you will.
If you will, yeah.
Yeah. All right, moving on to football. Patriots, still unbeaten.
Oh, yeah, and what's his name? Who's the goddamn quarterback?
Brady?
Brady. He's seen limping today.
Limping. It's a big fake.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah. If the point spread's still 14 points, we need to come up with 1,000 and find a bookie.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of the coin, you got the Green Bay Packers playing the New York Giants in Green Bay, John.
Right.
And it's like 0 degrees.
Yeah.
And it goes into OT.
And what happens?
Brett Favre throws an interception.
Yeah. And who predicts the outcome of that game? Eddie
who?
Murphy.
Eddie Murphy?
Yeah. In the movie Coming to America.
He predicted the outcome.
Yeah,
and
I don't have the sound bite. There's a sound
bite.
He
said Green Bay will lose to New York Giants.
Yeah, there's
in
a sound bite that he goes, it's unbelievable. I witnessed this new game called American Football, the Green Bay Packers against the team New York Giants, and then the entire championship game was decided by a kick from the New York Giants through this goalpost. It was fascinating. Yeah,
wow.
And they've been playing this like on TV.
Well, now if you back up the week before, the Dallas Cowboys were upset by the New York Giants. Do you remember that, John? Do you remember when that happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tony Romo, the quarterback for Dallas. I think he's still dating Jessica Simpson. Took a lot of flack for dating Jessica Simpson because once he started dating her, he couldn't play anymore. So right. At the press conference afterwards, they asked Terrell Owens some questions. And Terrell Owens starts crying. Terrell Owens, John.
Terrell.
This is like one of the cockiest guys ever in the history of sports. And he starts crying about Tony Romo.
Come on.
Come on. You tell me what's going on, John.
You tell me. You talk.
Go ahead, play that clip.
Here it is, right here. Oh, that's not it?
No, that's not it.
Oh, here it is.
This is not about, you know, Tony. You guys can point the finger at him. You can talk about the vacation. And if you do that, it's really unfair. It's really unfair. It's my team. It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost as a team. We lost as a team, man.
Man. That was a fucking team.
Man. So, next season, is he going to be as cocky as he has been in the past?
I don't know.
It's a total contradiction. Why does a guy like that start bawling? And if we always say, you start crying, just walk away from the mic.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep talking. Don't keep talking.
Hey, man, it means he cares. You fucking unfeeling piece of crap. Here's Eddie Murphy, because we're going to get to the Green Bay Packers, right?
Right.
We're going to talk about
Favre.
Because they just lost their... God, I was so disgusted.
Yeah, we actually... We did already talk about that, but we could talk about it again.
This is Eddie Murphy predicting the...
Mr. McDowell.
What is it?
Sir, I was wondering, did you happen to catch the professional football contest on television last night?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was most exhilarating. The Giants of New York took on the Packers of Green Bay. And in the end, the Giants triumphed by kicking an oblong ball made of pigskin through a big H. It was a most ripping victory.
Son, I'm just going to tell you this one time.
Yes.
You want to keep working here. Stay off the drugs.
So Eddie Murphy... In Coming to America, what, back in the 80s or was it late 90s?
Back in the
80s. Early 90s, predicted the outcome of this game. Which
Speaking of Eddie Murphy, he got married and divorced in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's after impregnating Mel B at a Spice Girls and then denying it. What's going on with him?
I don't know.
He's going off the deep end.
Yeah.
I bet you Tom Cruise could help him. And what's with Terrell Owens? Did the guy go to college? I'm assuming he graduated from college. You can graduate from college by saying this and that.
Well, I say this and that.
You say this and that?
Yeah, but I didn't go to college. You know, I get that Chicago accent. I've been accused of that before from Chuck, a guy named Chuck.
Chuck.
Did you ever meet Chuck?
No, I don't think so. Chuck.
He wants to be on the show.
All right, he can be on the show.
He wants to talk about whiskey and bourbon.
Those are my two favorite subjects, John, whiskey and bourbon,
which are exactly the same. Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey.
Now, if you're going to cry.
Which I'm drinking.
If you're a sports person and you're going to cry, you need to do it like this gentleman does it.
Right.
Go ahead
here.
And play the next clip there, John.
Well, you took a picture with your offensive lineman, a lot of hugs, Donald Driver's picking you up. What's the significance of all this?
Well, if it is my last game, I want to remember it. Tough. Miss these guys and miss the game, but just want to let them know that. I wasn't planning on doing this either. Way to put me on the spot.
Well, we appreciate it. What are the emotions that are going through your mind right now?
I think you can see, you know. Love to play the game. Love the.
Yeah, who was that? Helen Keller interviewing him? She couldn't tell.
What emotions are going through your mind right now? I think you can tell. I think
that's how you do it.
You can tell. Yeah.
All right, man. Moving on.
Moving on.
You see any movies?
Yeah, I saw one movie.
What'd you see?
Actually, it's a DVD. I saw Sunshine. It's a sci-fi picture. It's a movie. It's basically late 2000s, and the sun is starting to dim, and it's really fucking cold on Earth. And this crew has a ship, and they have to fly into the sun and launch this giant bomb to reignite it. They got this thermonuclear payload they got to dump off into the sun. And it's kind of a suicide mission. And as they're going there, they get a transmission from... They're in this ship called the Icarus 2. And they get a transmission from Icarus 1. And at some point, it's all theoretical that this thermonuclear payload is actually going to work. And they make this decision that if they go to the Icarus 1, two payloads are better than one. So if the first one fails, the second one's sure to work. And I can't remember the name of the dude that's in it. Maybe you know these guys. Rose Byrne, Cliff Curtis, Chris Evans, Troy Garrity.
Never heard of him.
Any of those guys? I know one of them was in something.
Something,
yeah. But anyways, they kind of draw straws on what to do. And the movie's really kind of cool. It's well shot and everything. It's really long in the tooth, though. And there's these really long pause shots of their faces and all the shit. And
so the editing was kind of slow.
Yeah, but it was almost, at first I was getting into it, like it was like, wow, this is going to be kind of like, 2001 Space Odyssey, you know. And it's cool. It looked pretty cool. Well, then there's a fucking sort of a monster at some point. Some dude from the Icarus 2 gets on the Icarus 1 gets on the Icarus 2. And then it just, I was like, oh, they just fucking ruined this fucking movie with this idiot who thinks he's God. And there's like this whole thing is during the whole movie, there's this one doctor on there that loves sitting in the observation deck and looking at the sun. And he keeps cranking up the volume, cranking up the exposure. Because they can knock it down to 1%, and they can look at the sun and just see the molten flares just swirling around like this sea of fire. And they get hypnotized by it. And this guy keeps increasing the intensity to like 3% so he can actually feel the heat and all this stuff. And you could see that they kind of get addicted to this hypnotic power or something that the sun gives off. And at some point, there's this a recording that they stumble upon from this Icarus 1, from the distress beacon that they get. And it's this weird face of a guy with like kind of black eyes and stuff, and he's communicating that he's some sort of a god. So obviously he's been, looking into the sun a little too much. And apparently he ends up getting on the Icarus 2 and he tries to fuck everything up. And it's not really that intense of an ending, kind of, sort of.
Is this guy mental or is he a monster?
He's not. He is kind of a monster. Because when they show him, it's always blurred and... his skin is like burned.
Where did he come from? But he was one of the crew members?
Yeah, he's one of the crew members or the captain from the Icarus 1. And he has, like, some super strength because he holds a guy up by his neck above the ground, kind of like Scott does in the Araby film.
Right.
Where he holds Araby above the ground.
Well, that was with strength. Pure abdominal strength, Josh. I did that.
But, you know, that part, that ruined it, you know? I mean, they had a good thing going.
So they didn't need that storyline.
No.
So what do you give it out of 4 Spiny Normans?
I was ready to give it like a 3, and then all of a sudden that shit happened. Now, you know, like a 1.5. And I bought
one
the movie.
And a half.
Yeah, you'll have to watch it.
Is that because you're an atheist? And it was a godlike figure?
No, not at all. No.
All right, well, I saw a movie. I only saw half an maybe.
And I have another one to watch.
What else? What else are you going to watch?
Haven't watched? The Kingdom with Jamie Foxx, Chris Cooper, and Jennifer Garner.
All right, is that where they go into
Still in
Saudi?
The plastic, yeah.
Yeah. I saw the last hour of Shoot 'Em Up. Have you heard of Shoot 'Em Up?
Yeah.
With Clive Owen?
Yeah.
Now, if they were to make a movie about John and Scott, I think Clive Owen would be cast as me. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah,
but,
right. Tell us about your nuts.
It's Shoot 'Em Up. That's what it is, John.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the trivia from IMDb. The body count was 100, and they used 15 gallons of fake blood during the filming of this.
Wow.
And it's a lot of shooting. The hour I saw was a lot of shooting. It's way over the top, but it sets up that framework that it's going to be way over the top. And Paul Giamatti's in it. I really like Paul Giamatti.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
Is a bad guy? I don't know about that, but he's definitely.
What are you talking about? Liar? He made a great bad guy in that movie.
Well, Howard Stern, he was a bad guy. He was good.
Right.
Big Fat Liar, is that what you're talking
big
about?
Big Fat Liar, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, Big Fat Liar. Yeah, that's one of my favorite Paul Giamatti roles. And he's kind of the same character in Big Fat Liar.
Yeah.
In this movie, except he has guns. And he looks a little greasier.
Right.
But there's this one great scene where the whole thing is about protecting this infant. And there's this one scene where the infant falls out of the car during a car chase. So Clive Owen drives his BMW, rips off the door, and he tries to scoop up the baby. But he can't. He misses the baby. So then Paul Giamatti's in this big van, this big black van, and he runs right over the baby. But then you find out it's like it's not a real baby. It's like a fake head with a tape recording.
Yeah.
And Paul Giamatti stops the car, and he's like, what kind of a sick motherfucker would pull something like that? That is the sickest thing I've ever seen. And that made the movie for me right there. I was totally bought into it. So I have to go get it and watch it from the beginning.
Nice.
And it's so, that end scene is so far over the top. I mean, I don't even know what you'd call this movie. It doesn't take itself too seriously, John. And it's a lot of fun and a lot of blood.
A lot of
violence.
A lot of blood.
And then I saw, you know, I forgot to mention this. The last time I went to a movie, I saw a movie poster for Adam Sandler's new movie.
Yeah.
Do you know what that's called?
No.
Adam Sandler's new movie?
No.
Let me start over. Here's the title. You Don't Mess with the Zohan.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Here's the plot line. A Mossad agent fakes his death so he can reemerge in New York City as a hairstylist. I have a prediction for 2008, John. My prediction is this movie's going to totally suck ass. You know why?
Why?
Rob Schneider has second billing.
Oh.
And Mariah Carey's in it.
He should be first.
Yeah, so I can't wait for that the reviews to come out on that. That's even if they open it for reviews.
Yeah.
You Don't Mess with the Zohan. I mean, just to come up with a dumbass title like that. Yeah. I mean, how much creativity is left to put
right,
in the movie?
Right. Hey, man.
A bunch of shit.
I figured out who one of the people in the movie is.
In Sunshine?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Chris Evans. I remember now. He plays the Torch, Human Torch, in the Fantastic Four.
Oh, I never saw those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never saw those?
Never saw the Fantastic Four. Is that with Jessica Alba?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never saw that.
How about Cillian? I think that's Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy?
Yeah.
Never heard of that. Is she Sicilian?
No, it's a dude. He was the Scarecrow in Batman Begins. You remember?
No, I don't remember. You don't remember? No.
You remember the movie Batman Begins?
Yeah, with Christian Bale. Yeah,
Christian
I remember that.
Bale, the guy who plays the Scarecrow.
I remember that.
Oh. Yeah, he's kind of he's got these like deep blue eyes. Anyway, yeah, that's the only.
Is that what attracts you to him? His deep blue eyes?
Yeah. No, he's got a huge fucking head and a really skinny body. It's kind of weird looking.
That is weird.
But he's the main physicist in the movie. That now I remember some of the shit they were in. The Scarecrow.
All right, John, anyway. You want to turn to celebrity news?
Celebrity.
Oh, you know what? Before we get to celebrity news, I got a quick GodTube clip.
No.
A quick clip from GodTube.
Right,
now, I was out there.
Let me turn down the bed.
And what had happened is one of the Christians, somebody asked the question, is smoking pot a sin? And this is the video response to that question. What do you think it's going to be, John? Do you think it's going to be a sin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Why?
Because it makes you want to masturbate and stuff. You know?
It makes me paranoid. Makes you want to jerk off.
I got to tell you, dude, there was a time when I loved pot. More than anything, man. I woke up smoking it. I went to bed smoking it.
What happened?
Well, I mean, you grow up. You know, you got shit to do. You got to use your brain. You got to Blaine. You got to use your Blaine.
You got responsibilities.
Right.
You get kids.
Yeah, it's too hard to... when you're by yourself and you're... You got a job that, I mean, I think you could function totally if you were a regular weed smoker easily. I mean, recreationally, you could smoke the weed without a problem. But, you know, the fact that it's illegal here in the States, it poses a problem, especially when you have a house and kids and... And
right.
they want to fucking tase you now and put you away forever for
well,
having some pot.
Well, they don't have
pot.
To knock. When they do come
right.
in, they can tase you.
Yeah.
And then if they find anything, they can confiscate all your possessions.
Yeah. So, you know, it really puts a damper on things. But when you're single and, you know, it's like at the time, I think it was it's a misdemeanor when you had I remember one time I was out with Joe. One of our very first guests on the show, and this other guy named Brett. It was me, Joe, and Brett, and we're driving around. And we go to this junior high school, and we start shooting off fireworks there. Stupid fucking idea. And the night before, Brett and I had been driving around in his Buick Electra, and we were shooting out windows and... I shot a kid, and not with a real gun, just like a BB gun. A kid on a bike. This is a long time ago. We shot a window out at some carpet cleaning company.
Long enough for the statute of limitations
yeah,
to run out.
This is
that what
years, man. Shot some headlights out on a Mercedes Benz. You know, just terrorize it. Just stupid
and
ass.
What does this
shit.
Have to do with pot?
Okay, I'm getting to it. So we had these BB guns in the trunk of the car. One of them looked like a 45 automatic. The other looks like a kind of a sawed off shotgun. So we're at this park and we're shooting off these fireworks, and out of nowhere, here comes like six fucking police cars, man, driving over the baseball curbs. Field and everything, lights just surrounding us. They get out of the car. They got the guns drawn. They tell us to get up against the car. We're all up against the car. Frisk us and everything. They start searching the car, and they said, okay, we got a report that fireworks are being shot off here. We're like, yeah, we don't know what you're talking about. And, of course, all the shit that we were shooting off was like these spinning kind of things. They're wheels. And they're all attached to the fence, all burnt out, and they're still smoking. And we're like, yeah, we don't know what you're talking about, man. What? No. We want to search the car. Or better yet, if you just hand them over right now, everything's cool, we'll let you go. I'm like, okay. So I look at Brett. I said, pop the trunk. He pops the trunk. I reach and grab the bag. I go to close it, and the cop grabs the trunk. He opens it up, and he sees the two guns laying there. Get up against a fucking car! All of a sudden, all the guns come out, and they're pointing at us. Me, Joe, Brett, we're all got our hands on the car. Oh, shit, please, God. Oh, my God. Well, they realize that they're BB guns, and they chill out. And then they line us up, and they start getting in our face. One guy is in our face the whole time while another guy's searching the car. And he opens up the glove box and pulls out a bag of weed out of the glove box. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
How much weed?
Just like a little bit. Just enough to maybe make a joint. Very little bit of cannabis. And Brett's like, hey, man, that's not mine. I just bought the car. I don't know whose that is.
It came with a car.
Yeah. In the meantime, Joe is underage. He's out past curfew, and I'm getting the fucking shit from this rookie telling me that he's going to take me downtown and ass rape me and all this stuff. And I don't have my license on me or nothing, but they arrest this Brett guy, and they take him downtown. They said, well, one of you has to drive this car over there and pick him up. I said, I'll take care of that. Jump in the car, drive over there, wait about a half hour with Joe. Joe could tell you this whole story. And here comes...
Oh, I get to hear it again.
Here comes Brett walking out with this big manila envelope with two guns sticking out of the fucking thing. And I go, what happened? He goes, nothing. He goes, they gave me a ticket for $75 for the weed. And I asked him if I could have it back, and they said no. But they gave me the guns back because they were BB guns, you know. And back in the day, he paid $75, and that was it. It was like a regular traffic ticket for enough weed to roll a doob with, you know.
Okay, I think I understand where you're going with the story. We had talked about now. They can seize your home.
Yeah.
Back then,
it was just a ticket.
A $75 ticket. All right. Boy, that was... Yeah, you probably could have said, you know, now they could seize your house, but back then it was a $75 ticket.
Yeah, I guess I could have. But it was a great story, though, wasn't it?
Did anybody piss themselves?
No.
No.
As a matter of fact, Brett was giving the cop a hard time because he was a big boy back then, and the cop was trying to get the cuffs on him, and you know, they didn't have tasers back then, so Brett was holding his arms apart so they couldn't put them together, and the cop had to literally shove him up against the car, brace one knee against the car as he pulled the two arms together. And Brett's screaming, you're hurting me, man, you know. And, of course, he was doing it on purpose. And not the cop, but Brett was trying to keep his arms apart so the cop would have to pull them together. And, you know, back then, there was no taser. Today, if he'd have done that, they would have fucking tased his ass right on the spot.
Yeah, but you would have had a video camera to video it, and it would have been
true.
Worth it.
That's true. Just a phone can videotape it.
Right.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, times have really changed. I think that's the common theme
and,
here,
and that's
John.
Only like 20 years ago, Scott. Well,
20
a little
years.
More.
We're still
like
playing 20, albums 20 24
years ago,
John.
Years ago, I'd say. 23 to 24 years ago.
All right. Moving on to the
God tube. Is it a sin
has to, say,
to smoke the weed?
Is it a sin? Here we go.
Yeah.
This week's question is this. Is smoking pot a sin? Well, smoking pot, you know, pot's a natural herb, right? I mean, God would have created the natural herb. But smoking pot is not God's process. It's man's process. You see, God didn't create this herb and then tell people to roll it up and smoke it in a tree. It would be similar to saying this. God created sex, but he didn't intend for somebody's parent to go have an affair with somebody else. That's not what God created it for. That's what man made happen with it. That's what has happened to pot.
Yeah, John.
What?
It's very clear to me. God made the herb, but man made the process.
Wait,
to smoke it.
Since when has cannabis ever been an herb?
He said it was an herb twice.
And you gotta be fucking kidding me.
God created sex. I don't know if you know that, but God created sex, John.
Oh, I guess it is an herb, but
and so that the
a herb.
You just that doesn't mean you can go the process of having an affair. That's a man's creation, not God's creation.
Right.
You see. So that's how that works. So yes, it is a sin.
But isn't God man's creation?
Some people think that. Some people think that man is God's creation. Others think that God is man's creation.
I'm one to think that God is man's creation.
Yes.
I'll go on record.
I would concur. I'll make a prediction, John, for 2008.
What's that?
That God is a creation of man.
Ah, that's
my prediction.
You're going out on a limb there, my friend.
Going out on a limb there.
Yeah.
Right on, John. Let's turn to celebrity
news. That's right, Scott. Cannabis sativa is an herb and has been used by humans throughout recorded history for its fiber, known as hemp, for its psychological and physiological effects, and for nourishment of its oil-bearing seeds. Just to let you know.
All right. Moving
I'm sorry. Moving along. What were you saying?
Celebrity news.
Celebrity news.
I don't know if you heard this, John. This is breaking news. Police probe actor Heath Ledger's death.
What?
Heath Ledger is dead. Dead as
Why?
A doornail. They don't know. Heath Ledger, the talented 28-year-old actor who gravitated toward dark, brooding roles that defined his leading man looks. I'm sorry, defied.
Dude, he's the Joker in the next Batman.
Right. He did finish filming the Batman movie. He was found dead Tuesday in a Manhattan apartment face down and naked at the foot of his bed with prescription sleeping pills nearby. So what's interesting is I read the first story that came out, and I can't remember specifically the times, but like 3:14, let's say. The masseuse was supposed to be there. She shows up at 3:14. She finds him dead. This story hits the internets by 3:32.
Wow.
I mean, like within 16 minutes or 18 minutes, it's already on the internets, John.
Wow.
Ain't that something?
That is something.
So I went to look for Heath Ledger clips, right?
Yeah.
You know, so we could play some. And I forgot that he doesn't really say anything in Brokeback Mountain. He doesn't really talk at all.
Right.
In which he got nominated for, which I didn't agree with at all. And I talked about in the Pat's podcast. But 28 years old. What is it with 28-year-old celebrities?
I don't know. How about this? How about this?
Take this guy. Armed robbery, double homicide. Taste for the theatrical, like you. Leaves a calling card.
I'll look into it.
Oh, sorry. It's not Heath Ledger saying anything. It's just Batman saying, I'll look into it.
So who knows? Maybe he committed suicide. He did have a relationship, and he has a daughter with a woman. They are no longer together. Who knows what's going on with him? I do notice that physically his appearance has really changed over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Is that it? Maybe a substance abuse issue? I don't know. But there's definitely something going on with Heath Ledger.
Pills. They found pills.
Pills. They found prescription sleeping pills nearby. Yeah. But who knows what else this guy was into.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, I can't wait for the fucking Dark Knight 2. Isn't it just the Dark Knight?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I can't wait.
Christian Bale.
That's going to be a great fucking movie. And I got into the Batman just prior to the Michael Keaton one. I started collecting comic books because Frank Miller released the Dark Knight Returns. And I like the new Dark Knight movies with Christian Bale because it kind of takes from that persona of Batman, the more sinister version of him, more violent. And this Heath Ledger, I think, is going to make a great Joker.
Yeah, he looks pretty freaky.
May he rest in peace.
It's supposed to come out July 18th, 2008.
Yeah. That's fucked up, man.
And it's called The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight, right. Right. So that's
like huge celebrity news.
Oh, yeah, big announcement, Scott.
What's that?
This Saturday, got to check out the Chicago Rock Circus.
Oh, right.
The Chicago Rock Circus. Got to check it out. The reason being, Dan, who was on our show, the wanker, who played the lick on the show, guitar player.
Yeah, he wouldn't jam with us.
Right.
They better not do any covers, right. I'll tell you that.
No, they're nothing but covers. Nothing but covers. They have this thing called the Chicago Rock Circus. They're playing at Famous Freddy's. It's $7 to get in. There's going to be a juggler, a street magician, and an illusionist. So in between each one of the sets, it starts off with a juggler. The ringmaster is going to sing three songs, but he is the previous bass player from the band Exide before I was in the band Exide. And after I was in the original Exide. He is going to be the ringmaster, and then they're going to have like two other singers, and they're going to play stuff like Van Halen, AC/DC, Tool, Foo Fighters, you name it. They're going to play all these different tunes. Three-piece band. The lineup is Dan. There's a guy named Dennis Frankowski on drums, and I think it's Chris Straczynski on bass. And this guy Chris, who plays bass, used to play in a really heavy thrash metal band back in the day. He's a really kick-ass bass player.
He went to our high school.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
So did the drummer. The drummer's really kick-ass. He plays like Carter Beauford. He plays a righty set left-handed. So he's really an awesome drummer. He's actually competed in a couple of the Guitar Center drum offs.
Are you going?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
I'll see what I can do.
It's going to be a great show. They're playing at Famous, what is it, Famous
Freddy's?
What
time are you going over there?
It starts at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I could probably make it by 9:30.
What do you mean you can probably?
You know, I got to get the kids to bed.
What?
Big announcement there.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool.
All right, John, moving on to science news. Science news. First science story, a deadly resistant strain of potentially deadly bacteria has moved beyond the borders of U.S. hospitals and being transmitted among gay men during sex.
What?
I just want to let you know that. They said methicillin-resistant staphylococcus aureus, or MRSA, is beginning to appear outside hospitals in San Francisco, Boston, New York, and Los Angeles. Sexually active gay men in the San Francisco area are 13 more times likely to be infected than their heterosexual neighbors. Once this reaches the general population, it will be truly unstoppable, said Bin Diop, a researcher at the University of California. That's why we're trying to spread the message of prevention. And this is like some super staph infection.
Wow.
That's now being transmitted sexually, and it could cause all sorts of problems.
Really?
Yeah. So that's like a PSA from John and Scott. PSA.
Don't be ridiculous.
Our next science story, John.
Yeah.
Aggression is as rewarding as sex, food, and drugs.
Really?
New research shows. New research from Vanderbilt University shows for the first time that the brain processes aggression as a reward, much like sex, food, and drugs, offering insights into our propensity to fight and our fascination with violent sports like boxing and football. And of course, I'm not surprised by this because this is what evolution teaches us. If you weren't aggressive, you didn't survive, John.
Right.
You had to be aggressive.
You had to be. Yeah. Survival of the fittest.
So if a brain that processed aggression and gave it a reward would benefit someone whose brain did not reward aggression.
Right.
Not only that, but you'd get your ass kicked too. And you wouldn't be around to reproduce. Not a surprise there, John.
Right.
Not a surprise.
Not a surprise at all.
Let's see. What else do we have? One last thing about mosquitoes. You know that mosquitoes are the greatest cause of human death in the history of recorded the world?
Yeah, John? Absolutely.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Get this.
This is science news?
Yes, this is science news. Geneticists? Is that the word?
Geneticists.
Researchers have discovered that one particular mosquito has a surprisingly complex metabolic pathway, one that requires its members to excrete toxic nitrogen after gorging on human blood. If the mosquitoes fail to do so, they'll also fail to lay eggs and will likely sicken and die.
Leg eggs. Yeah.
So their goal is to turn the female mosquito's blood meal into the last meal that the mosquito ever has. And they can do that by flipping a gene.
Wow.
Just flipping a gene.
It's evolution.
And then letting these MFers out into the wild. And what it may mean, I mean, if it all works really well.
Yeah.
It may mean that in 10 years, there may not be any goddamn mosquitoes anymore.
Oh, that'd be great.
Would that be the most kick-ass?
Dude, I hate the fucking mosquitoes. That's what keeps me from outside in the summer, is the goddamn mosquitoes. Because I hate putting on the shit. Remember when we played in the woods?
Yeah, on the island.
Yeah.
Oh, in the woods.
Those fucking bugs and the skeeters.
Yeah, that is for shit. For shit,
so
man.
Since this is science news, how about scientists prove that squirrels are sneaky?
Okay. Yeah. You had to prove that?
Yeah. Dr. Michael Steele, a researcher at Pennsylvania's Wilkes University, and several colleagues performed a study on gray squirrel behavior, Scott. They placed acorns near squirrels and watched what the animals did with them. You're probably aware that squirrels hoard their food. What you might not have known is that squirrels don't keep all their nuts in one place, but make various holes and hiding places for their food stash. Apparently, they're also paranoid. Squirrels not only make a large number of real hiding places for their nuts, they also make fake ones. If you see a squirrel digging a hiding place, there's actually more than 20% chance that it's fake. But Robert, you're saying, that just proves squirrels are smart. Well, you don't know the whole story. It turns out that they are do this because of other squirrels are dirty thieves. The study found that squirrels are far more likely to make fake holes when they know they're being watched by other squirrels. To the researchers, this suggests that squirrels are aware of other squirrels' intention to steal. That's amazing. Wow. That's amazing. Somebody actually spent the fucking time to stand there and watch a squirrel dig a hole.
Well, they had to make sure other squirrels were there.
What did they have? Like some stuffed squirrels sitting there watching, or
animatronic squirrels?
Animatronic squirrels.
No, they probably got the real squirrels.
Real deal.
The real deal.
But what, Pennsylvania Wilkes University. I mean, I don't. What's the point? Why?
Here's why. Somebody has to get their PhD, right? So they have to come up with an idea. So somebody came up with this idea. They said, here's what I propose. I propose that squirrels are either sneaky or they're smart. So here's what I'm going to do.
John and Scott can get a PhD?
Yeah, definitely. Well, we have to have the basic degrees first, but then we can present something for a PhD. And they'll say, yeah, go ahead, do it. Here's the money. Here's the squirrels. Report back to us. And then you write your paper and you submit it. That's how it works.
I got another science story. It's kind of sciencey. Do you have one?
No, I'm done. I am done with science.
I got one last quick one. It's the history of vibrators, Scott. I'm not going to read this whole fucking thing. What?
It's a science story?
Yeah, it is.
It's technical. It's a technical science.
Well,
no,
it's science. It's science.
Yes, of course. Technology is based in science.
Well,
John.
Mention vibrator, Scott, and most people think of women's sexual pleasure. But that was the furthest. I've been drinking some Knob Creek. But that was the furthest thing from the minds of male doctors who invented them more than a century ago. A century ago, Scott.
Well, is that when they used to, women used to come in and complain about orgasms, right?
Well, no. What they did is they complained that of hysteria, anxiety, sleeplessness, irritability, nervousness, erotic fantasies.
Oh, because they weren't.
And moisture inside the vagina.
Because they weren't having orgasms. Right.
Female hysteria was actually women's sexual frustration, Scott. And one of the things they prescribed for women was horseback riding, something to stimulate the clitoris. And it's true. I'm not kidding.
I know. There's a movie with Anthony Hopkins, the guy who founded Kellogg's.
Right.
Who gave us cornflakes, also gave us a bunch of
it says,
erotica.
Right. It says here, for hysteria unrelieved by husband lust, and for widows, a single and unhappily married women, doctors advised horseback riding, which in some cases provided enough clitoral stimulation to trigger orgasm. But many women found little relief from horseback riding, and by the 17th century, dildos were less of an option because the arbiters of decency had succeeded in demonizing masturbation as self-abuse. So at some point they decided, okay, you go to the doctor or a midwife and you would get, you would have your genitals massaged. A woman would have her genitals massaged and her the clitoral area massaged.
Yes,
with fingers. To get what they call the paroxysm, physician assisted paroxysm. The problem was that their fingers would get tired. Here's what they say. Treating hysteria also had a downside for doctors: tired fingers from all that massage. 19th century medical journals lamented that many hysterics, tax their doctor's stamina. Physicians complain of having trouble maintaining therapeutic massage long enough to produce the desired result. So what they did is they invented the vibrator. Necessity being the mother of all inventions, physicians began experimenting with mechanical substitutes for their hands. They tried a number of genital massage contraptions. Among them, water-driven devices, the forerunners of today's shower massagers, and steam-driven pumping dildos. But these machines were cumbersome, messy, often unreliable, and sometimes dangerous, Scott. So in the late 19th century, electricity became available for the home use, and the first electric appliances were invented. The sewing machine, the electric fan, and the toaster. These were followed soon after, around 1880, by the electromechanical vibrator, patented by an enterprising British physician, Dr. Joseph Mortimer Granville.
Sounds dangerous to me.
The electric vibrator was invented more than a decade before the vacuum cleaner and the electric iron. They were an immediate hit, Scott. They produced paroxysm quickly, safely, reliably, and inexpensively, and as women desired it.
Do you think any woman ever died by using one of those in the bathtub?
I don't know, but it says here advertisements appearing in such magazines as Women's Home Companion, Needlecraft, and the Amazon.com of the era, the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Such a delightful companion, all the pleasures of youth will throb within you, was one of the taglines, my friend. Although electricity gave women vibrators, but ironically, within a few decades, electricity almost took the devices away from them. With the invention of motion pictures, vibrators started turning up in pornography and gained an unsavory reputation. By the 1920s, they had become socially unacceptable, and vibrator ads disappeared from the consumer media. From the late 1920s and well into the 1970s, they were difficult to find. So back before the 1920s, Scott, you can look up in Sears Roebuck catalog and they will tell you, hey, man, buy one of these for such a delightful companion. All the pleasure of youth will throb within you.
That's, you know, that would be enough for me to get one.
Yeah. It's all true. Look it up, man. Look it up.
I'm not saying it's not true.
Look it up.
Science news, we usually do current events. Maybe we need to come up with like a special science, historical science.
Well, if you want to look into the 19th century treatment of female hysteria, see the film The Road to Wellville.
With Anthony Hopkins.
That's right.
Isn't the guy from Chicago, Cusack, in that as well?
Is
Cusack.
He?
John Cusack is one of the doctors.
It could,
or maybe it's
well
Matthew
be.
Broderick. No, I think it's Matthew Broderick.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think you're right. This movie was what, 1994? 1994. Yeah, 1994. You are absolutely right. Anthony Hopkins, Bridget Fonda, and Matthew Broderick, as well as John Cusack. Dana Carvey.
Oh, they're both in it. Dana Carvey
is George Kellogg. Anthony Hopkins plays Dr. John Harvey Kellogg. I remember watching it because they're like in the woods and he's fingering like two chicks at the same time. That's a great movie.
One thing we forgot to play before we get into politics. Not only did Heath Ledger pass away, but Bobby Fischer also passed away.
Bobby Fischer.
Now, Bobby Fischer was a chess player during the Cold War.
Yeah.
The Russians, chess was played in school. They taught kids in school. It was part of the school curriculum. Russia was the dominant. He mopped
the floor with them.
Dominant power in chess. It was almost like when the U.S. team beat Russia in hockey.
Right.
So Bobby Fischer comes along. This kid's a grandmaster at age 15. He's a little eccentric. Some would say batshit crazy. He plays the Russians. Who did he play? Spassky in the 70s?
I don't know.
He crushes Spassky after two losses, but they had a big, long tournament. He lost the first two games, but then he came back and crushed him. And then he kind of went into, what do you call it?
Exile.
Like a Howard Hughes thing.
Exile.
Yeah, and then that's where, you know, so this chess genius So often when you have genius,
chess,
John,
grandmaster.
On the other end, you have batshit crazy.
He was a grandmaster.
What did I say?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think I said
chess
that.
Genius, you just said, but I think...
Yeah, I said he was a grandmaster at 15.
You need to continue to discuss that he's a grandmaster.
I believe I said that earlier, that
yeah, but you just
became
said
a grandmaster
genius.
At 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just wondering why. What are you challenging here?
You said he was a chess genius.
Yes, but earlier I said he was a grandmaster.
I think you need to continue to call him a grandmaster.
Why can't I refer to him as a genius?
Because I think grandmaster says it all. So continue to say.
No, it's like, because he was... there's a lot of grandmasters, John. But there are no Bobby Fischers when it comes to chess. So he is a chess genius. Now, along with the genius, he was batshit crazy at the same time.
But his title, there's a title given
to... Yes, it's
too.
A title.
It's but called a grandmaster.
I understand that. But there's several grandmasters. Who knows how many there are? I'm sure it's difficult to get, but there's a lot of grandmasters. They do not... amount to a Bobby Fischer.
Well, then
above.
You need to call him the greatest chess player of all time.
Maybe
if he doesn't
I will
amount
do that.
To that.
Maybe we can do that. I don't know.
Because, but I mean, chess genius doesn't say enough, because there's many chess geniuses.
Within grandmasters, he was a genius. How about that?
Semantics.
So what you're looking for is you're looking for some framework as a reference. You're looking at
no,
a frame
I don't
of
think
reference
we need to go any farther, because we ran into a fan at the gig, the mm-hmm. supposed gig we're supposed to have.
Right.
And one of the things he said was, yeah, when you guys started arguing about upstairs, downstairs, how many flights, yeah, I was going to fucking, and he jogs when he listens to us. Yeah, uh-huh. He was going to run in front of a moving vehicle. So, okay, I'll agree with whatever you say.
Of course.
Chess genius. Yeah,
I don't know why you wouldn't.
Because you're
so the guy
dumbass.
Had the world in the palm of his hand.
The world in the palm, right. Of
you know,
hand.
As far as chess goes.
Yeah, as far as grandmaster
and then he
chess.
Becomes a recluse.
Yeah, right.
And then he becomes totally batshit crazy. And here's part of his legacy. Now, this always... Bobby Fischer, I'm really struggling. He'll always be remembered for chess, but will he be remembered for something? God damn it.
Yeah, he'll be remembered from
will he
remembering
be remembered
Bobby
for
Fischer.
Some of his comments after 9/11.
No, I didn't know he had comments after 9/11.
Yes, he had comments after 9/11. He was, even though his mother was Jewish, he apparently became this self-hating Jew.
Really? I thought he was from Iceland or some shit. Like
no,
that.
That's where he beat Spassky in Iceland,
oh.
And that's where he moved to Iceland, because I guess at some point our country boycotted Serbia or something,
right.
And they offered him $1 million to go play chess. And then if he came back, actually he spent a year in Japan. They were they were trying to extradite
yeah,
him back
that.
To the States.
I read a story about that.
So he moved to Iceland, where his greatest chess victory occurred. And he did renounce his U.S. citizenship.
Right.
But here is somebody caught up with him after 9/11, and here's what he had to say. Go ahead and play that clip, John.
Well, this is all wonderful news. It's time for the fucking U.S. to get their heads kicked in. It's time to finish off the U.S. once and for all. Fuck the U.S. I want to see the U.S. wiped out. I'm hoping for some kind of a 7-day in May scenario where the country will be taken over by the military. They'll close down all the synagogues, arrest all the Jews, execute hundreds of thousands of Jewish ringleaders, and, apologize to the Arabs, kill off all the Jews over there in the bandit state, you know, of Israel. I'm hoping for a totally new world. Democracy is just a lot of bullshit. It's just been a cover for the criminal nature of the United States of America. I say death to President Bush. I say death to the United States. Fuck the United States. Fuck the Jews. The Jews are criminal people. They mutilate their children. They're a murderous, criminal, thieving, lying bastards. They made up the Holocaust as a word of truth to them. They're the worst liars and bastards. All right. Now what goes around comes around. They're getting it back finally.
All right.
Praise God. And, hallelujah. This is a wonderful day. Fuck the United States. Cry, you crybabies. Whine, you bastards.
Whoa.
So,
wow.
Wow. Fuck Bobby Fischer.
Wow.
Good riddance. Bobby Fischer.
Well, he was running for his life all the time. Whatever.
Why was he running? What do you mean running for his life?
He spent the rest of his life after the game in Yugoslavia fleeing from the U.S. because he was afraid of being extradited.
Right.
What a big pussy.
Big crybaby.
Yeah, sudden obscurity after the World Championship. Fischer did not play another serious game in public for nearly 20 years. He did not defend his title, and public perception was reflected in the decline of interest in chess in the West in the following years. In 77, Bobby Fischer played 3 games in Cambridge against MIT Greenbalt computer program. Fischer won all 3 games, even though he started with the black pieces in the first game, meaning the computer made the first move. So
when do you separate somebody's contribution from their assholeness? You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess history, you know.
Who gives a fuck? He played a fucking game.
Right, right. And he won. He won the game.
Of strategy.
And his games are still being studied today in what he did.
But why? What is the real contribution to society? Absolutely zero. Zero.
I don't know. It did got a lot of people interested in chess in the United States. That interest seemed to wane 10 years later, but I'm sure that contributes in some way.
To what?
I don't know how.
To greater society? No, absolutely nothing. I want something to contribute to greater society. Do you know how to play chess?
Yes.
I don't play chess. I don't know how.
I don't know. The guy, interestingly, he's 64 when he dies, John.
Yeah.
How many spaces are in a chessboard?
I don't know. I've never played the game.
64.
Whoa.
Huh?
Irony right there.
How's that for numerology?
How's that for irony?
Irony.
So numerology. Shut up! So shut up!
Fuck you.
Fuck you, asshole.
I want to know what Mel Gibson would say about Bobby Fischer.
What is...
What he just heard.
Don't be ridiculous.
What?
How Mel Gibson would feel about what Bobby Fischer said.
Oh, he would say...
But I hope you leave enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach.
I don't think he would say that.
No?
I think he would agree with Bobby Fischer, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
Because he doesn't believe in the Holocaust either.
Right.
Stop shouting! I'm not deaf!
All right, moving on into politics, I have a quote, and I'm going to read this quote, and you have to tell me who said it. Who said this quote?
Who said the quote?
And this is a political figure.
All right.
Here it is. The truth is useless. You have to understand this right now. You can't deposit the truth in a bank. You can't buy groceries with the truth. You can't pay rent with the truth. The truth is a useless commodity that will hang around your neck like an albatross all the way to the homeless shelter. And if you think that a million or so people in this country that are really interested in the truth about their government can support people who would tell them the truth, you got another thing coming. Because the million or so people in this country that are truly interested in the truth don't have any money. Who said that, John?
Hillary Clinton?
Jebediah Bush.
Jeb
Bush said
Jeb.
That.
I had no idea. Huh.
So he's just confirming everything we've known. Either the W is completely incompetent, or he knows he's lying. One or the other. I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah. Wow.
You got any political news, John?
Yeah, I do.
What do you got?
Well, I know we've probably touched on this earlier in the last year, because this came out last year, but it says here, according to Representative Jane Harman, Democrat of California, House Resolution 955, otherwise known as the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act of 2007, is a much needed piece of national security legislation subject to unnecessary paranoia and fear. According to the American Civil Liberties Union, and the resolution which Harman sponsored is one step too close to an Orwellian nightmare, especially for the Democrats who concocted it. The Democrats who concocted it. The what? Truth, yeah. The truth, as always, lies somewhere in between. But first, let's back up and check the facts. The initial text of H.R. 1955, Scott, states its aim clearly enough before failing to into obfuscation. To prevent homegrown terrorism and for other purposes, a characteristic that could be argued to be its defining template. Speaking of definitions or the lack thereof, H.R. 1955 defines homegrown terrorism and violent radicalization nebulously. The former is merely the use, planned use, or threatened use of force or violence by a group or individual born, raised, or based and operating primarily within the United States or any possession of the United States to intimidate or coerce the United States government, the civilian population of the United States, or any segment thereof in furtherance of political or social objectives. While the latter means the process of adopting or promoting an extremist belief system for the purpose of facilitating ideologically based violence to advance political, religious, or social change.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
So can you boil it down for me?
Well, ideologically based violence, in turn, is defined as the use, planned use, or threatened use of force or violence by a group or individual to promote the group or individual's political, religious, or social beliefs. And it sounds fair enough until you start crunching the language and come to the realization that practically anyone, Scott, on any given day could fit the description, which is vague on purpose, as one realizes the farther one digs. So when you start reading all that stuff, you and I, John and Scott, are terrorists.
We are. We're not, but you just admitted they're going to use that against
us. We're not, but because of the definition of H.R. 1955, all that gibberish I said, because if we are raised or based and operating primarily within the United States or any possession of the United States to intimidate, well, we're not doing that, or coerce the United States government, we're not doing that, or the civilian population of the United States or any segment thereof in furtherance of political or social objectives. So what does that mean? Does that mean because we are exchanging ideas is enough to promote an extremist belief system or facilitating ideologically based violence to advance political or religious or social change? How about that, Scott?
I'm having deja vu. It's like I've heard this story before.
It's going to keep coming up again and again and again because they keep fucking... When this shit came out, they waited until there was just a handful of people there that could vote against it, and they couldn't vote against it. So It's out there. I don't know how far it's going to get, but I think one of the things that came out in one of the talk radio shows today was that all this unchecked power, all these special rules, all these special objectives and laws that they're putting into play will carry over. And you got these people who are Bush apologists, and they're like, yeah, 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 Bush, Bush, Bush. Everything he says is exactly the way it should be. Well, let's say a Democrat takes over as the next president. All that power transfers to that new president unchecked, and they're going to be crying like a bunch of little fucking bitches. People like Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and the Bill O'Reillys, all of them, because they allowed that unchecked power to be transferred over to the next president. And some, what if we get some really wacko, somebody who's more wacko than the W?
Like the Huckabee.
The Huckabee.
Who wants to put God in the Constitution.
Or Billary. Billary Clinton.
Billary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Billary. Well, this process evolves, but it's really gotten way out of hand.
Yeah, way.
Based on W's incompetence and, you know, his belief system and a combination of those two things, plus all his rich friends in the media and in the oil business. I mean, it's just we heard today that they had to come out and lower the interest rates to save a global recession.
Yeah.
To try to save a global recession.
And that's what cracks me up. They wouldn't say that. They wouldn't say it for all these the last year. But now they're saying recession more and more.
Well, and then Bush, you know, he wants to come up with this stimulus package, John. This stimulus package and give $140 billion to who knows who.
Right, right.
But where does this money come from? $1 trillion for Iraq, $140 billion for a stimulus package.
Billion dollars.
Where does this come from?
I don't know.
It comes from our kids and our grandkids and our grandkids' debt.
No, it comes from China.
Right, and it adds up to debt. And,
right.
And what the fuck is this guy doing? He's so goddamn stupid. And all the people in there that vote for this shit and enable this behavior will be a footnote in the downfall of the USA.
Absolutely.
In a history book.
Absolutely.
Worst president ever. He's only got a year left, John.
Right, right.
A year
Soylent
left.
Green is made out of people.
To not fuck up. I don't think that's going to happen. Do I have anything else?
We got other stuff here. What about Bush pardoned self?
Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead and play this. Here's what this fucker did. You know, they always do this stuff when Congress is on recess.
Because they don't have any fucking balls.
They don't have any balls.
He's
they can't tell the truth.
Pussy.
It's all about exploiting the American people and the American dream, John. It's no longer the American dream.
Yeah.
It's the American goddamn nightmare.
Yeah. In our president, there's
a tiny vagina.
Yeah. In our president,
we have a little teeny tiny vagina.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I think he has a pretty big one.
Really? Got a little teeny tiny?
No, it's a big one.
Okay, what does the W have to say?
So the W, here's the news guy's going to lay it out for us, but they slip in another thing while they have the advantage. Go ahead and play this clip.
The House just passed President Bush's bill to redefine the treatment of detainees, and the Senate's expected to do the same thing tomorrow. Buried deep inside this legislation is a provision that will pardon President Bush and all the members of his administration of any possible crimes connected with the torture and mistreatment of detainees, dated all the way back to September 11, 2001. At least President Nixon had Gerald Ford to do his dirty work. President Bush is trying to pardon himself. Here's the deal. Under the War Crimes Act, violations of the Geneva Conventions are felonies, in some cases punishable by death. When the Supreme Court ruled the Geneva Conventions applied to Al-Qaeda and Taliban detainees, President Bush and his boys were suddenly in big trouble. They've been working these prisoners over pretty good. In an effort to avoid possible prosecution, they're trying to cram this bill through Congress before the end of the week when Congress adjourns. The reason there's such a rush to do this, if the Democrats get control of the House in November, well, this kind of legislation probably wouldn't pass. You want to know the real disgrace of what these people are about to do or in the process of doing? Senator Bill Frist and Congressman Dennis Hastert and their Republican stooges apparently don't see anything wrong with this. I really do wonder sometimes what we're becoming in this country.
No doubt.
Right on. Oh, so they're trying to squeeze it in before everybody goes on vacation.
Yeah.
And you know that these assholes don't read the whole goddamn thing. Or they give it to somebody else to read, like some page, some 18-year-old page to read. Oh, yeah, it looked pretty good. You know, it talked about, there was something in there about torture. And, yeah.
Right.
I think you should sign it.
Yeah, that's fucked up, man.
That is fucked up.
Fucking chimp.
Chimp. Don't you monkey with the monkey. Hey, only a year left of this chimp.
Actually, Scott, as of today, there are, what's today, the 22nd?
I don't know.
There's less than 1 year left. 364 days.
364, and we are in a leap year too, Jim.
Right, right.
364.
364. Hey, we do have we ran the prediction contest.
And we did?
Yeah. Didn't we do a prediction contest?
We were going to have a prediction show. We wanted people to call in and give predictions, and then we'd play them on a prediction show.
Oh, so we're going to do it on a show.
Like, I have another prediction. The W will go down as the worst president in the history of the United States.
Yeah, that's a good prediction. Okay, so we're going to do a separate show for the predictions.
I don't know. What do you want to do?
Oh, I don't know.
It doesn't matter to me. I mean, we could play predictions as they come in and then just recap them at the end of the year.
Well, I have one. Unishado.
Unishado? And this is a prediction for 2008?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here it is. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Because it relates to politics. That's why I wanted to play it now. Here it is.
Cool talking about this with John and Scott. This is Uno Chateau. And you asked for a prediction. So I would like to predict that this year, President George Bush is going to go, well, he's going to be invited by our Vice President Dick Cheney to go duck hunting. And I truly believe it will end tragically with half of Bush's face blown off by his own vice president. And I think that if that doesn't happen, I think that John will dream about it and leave an entirely different blast line on his mattress. Good day, sirs.
So that's Una Shadow's prediction that there
wouldn't
might
that that would be like the greatest story in the history of the world, wouldn't it?
There was a tragic accident between the VP and the P. The prez.
The P.
But if that doesn't happen, that I will dream about it and create an entirely different blast line on my mattress.
Well, there you have it.
There you have it. Exactly. So that's Uno Chateau's.
So maybe we'll just play predictions as they come in, and then our prediction show will be at the end of 2008 when we review and see who's right and who's wrong.
Right.
That's going to be a heavy indexing job then. Yeah. We're really going to need an intern. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do, my man.
All right then, John. Was Phil coming over to your house or is he coming over to my house? What's going on?
I thought we had something about Tom Cruise, didn't we?
You know, Heath Ledger kind of bumped Tom Cruise from Celebrity News.
Did he?
Yeah, but we can cover it next week. Well,
all right.
John and Scott did is we went and read the Tom Cruise biography so that you don't have to.
Oh,
and we're
really?
Just going to cover the highlights.
Well, that's I'm saying, check out on YouTube. There's a great song by John Colton. John, Colton, called Tom Cruise Crazy. And we'll exit the show with it.
All right, then.
Yeah.
All right, so Phil came over to your place?
I guess. I mean, I don't know what the hell's going on. Is that your bell or mine? I don't know.
It came through my headphones. Maybe my microphone picked it up. Hold on. Let me see.
He's out there shooting again.
Oh, no. Yeah, it is my doorbell. Let me go get the door.
You going to go?
Yeah, I'm going to go get it.
All right.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't wake my
He's out there shooting. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I got kids sleeping, too.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man.
Oh, yeah. He's at your house. He's not at mine. I checked the door. What the hell is ringing the bell again? Come on, man.
All right, I'm back.
Is he back?
Yeah,
oh, he's got.
I'm going to have to let him use my mic because I only have one mic set up.
All right.
All right, I'm going to turn it over to Phil.
All right. Oh.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, child. Our first story tonight. Oh, snap! A 17-year-old woman has been charged with stabbing her boyfriend to death in their Coopersville Homes apartment late Friday morning. Brittany McCoy was charged as an adult by Jonestown police with criminal homicide, simple assault, and reckless endangerment of another person. The victim was identified as Bruce Dickerson, 21. He was pronounced dead at Memorial Medical Center, said the Cambrian County coroner, Dennis Kwiatkowski. The cause of death was a single stab wound to the chest. The worker told police that the defendant and victim were arguing and that the argument became physical. The argument went from the living room to the bedroom when one of the victims was heard to have said, "Oh, snap! She stabbed me!" Next story, John. The master criminals who harassed a manatee and posted a video of it on MySpace will have to spend up to a month each in federal prison and issue an apology on MySpace. Well-documented manatee hater Eric Tomorrow could not be reached for comment. Next story, John. Woman gets in the way of a cop trying to acquire two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Some sauce.
Women arrested for disorderly conduct. A 75-year-old woman was arrested at Clearwater McDonald's drive-thru because police say she wouldn't pull her car forward. Authorities say Jean Morala, a grandma of eight, was arrested for disorderly conduct after she refused an officer's orders to move her car while she waited for coffee and fries that she ordered at the drive-thru. Morala said the McDonald's employee told her to wait there for the food. Morala was handcuffed behind her back and put in the cruiser. Another officer arrived and took her to the Pinellas County Jail. She was searched, photographed, and fingerprinted. Jail records show she was released about 90 minutes later on her own recognizance. Next story, John. Clowns say that a survey finding them scary to children is not true, and that the little asswipes better fall in line unless they want to end up with the 47 other little asswipes in a small car at the bottom of a lake. Honk, honk. Next story, John. Scotland's naked rambler released after 20 months in prison. Scotland's naked rambler celebrates by taking off all his clothes and getting arrested again. Six steps from the courtroom.
I thought you were saying a person's name, Scott Lins. Scott Lins.
Yes, Scott Lins. Next story, John. Cops search for stolen dog that happens to have just one testicle.
Why?
The fact that there's only one hanging will help identify this dog, an official police spokesman said. Next story, John. Trooper accused of overlooking possible drugs charge in exchange for sexual favor from porn actress.
Favor?
Gets off quick and easy. A former state trooper accused of overlooking a possible drug charge in exchange for a sexual favor is sentenced to 4 years of probation. James Randy Moss will serve no jail time in the terms of his plea if he completes his probation with no problems. Moss became the subject of a statewide investigation last summer after a Wilson County traffic stop involving Knoxville resident Justin Aileen Reichert, who performs in adult films using the name Barbie Cummings. He stopped Riker for speeding and reportedly found illegal pills in her pink Honda. He was accused of throwing the pills away after Riker performed a sex act on him of an oral nature. The tryst became public after Riker wrote explicitly about it on an internet blog and posted photos from the encounter online. Don't we have audio on that, John?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want in my little tiny asshole.
Yeah?
Yeah, I want it in.
What do you want in there?
Oh, my God, I want that big black nigger cock in my asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want it.
Down, huh?
I want it. I want it. I'll fill up all my fucking little holes. Fuck yeah. Fill up my little cracker hole. Oh, yeah, a big nigger dick.
Our next story, John, this also has an audio accompaniment. I sent you a file to play for this one. Jesus has returned. Jean Mansell is happy. An 80-pound statue of Jesus is part of her life again. For more on the story, John, let's turn it over to Ace reporter Hugh Jorgens.
Hugh?
For about a year, Jean Mansell has cherished her cement Jesus statue, an heirloom from her late uncle.
There was footprints behind it and footprints in front of it.
But Thursday morning, Jean walked outside only to find that Jesus was gone.
My husband got a phone call in a real graspy voice over the phone saying, check your mailbox.
In the mailbox, a ransom note.
The note basically said they were holding Jesus for ransom.
The note reads, we are holding Jesus ransom until you clean up the poopy from your wieners, and trust us, we see you take your wieners for long walks without picking up their poopy in our yards. This has upset us dearly, so please clean up all the wiener poopy if you want to see Jesus unharmed.
It has to be a young person because they put these little lines next to the word Jesus. No adult's going to waste their time doing that. And referring to wiener poopy, my gosh.
Jean has four wiener dogs and admits there was a complaint last year about their leavings, but says she's cleaned up every pile since.
I take my dogs for a walk. I carry a plastic bag with me, and I pick up anything that they do.
Now, Jean just wants her statue back and says she won't press charges if Jesus isn't harmed.
And I thought, my gosh, something like that, it's going to be safe in your yard.
It's not real.
It wasn't.
It's not real.
It wasn't.
Oh, my God.
It's not real, man.
Thank you, Hugh. What an excellent job. You know, you go to cover a story about a kidnapped Jesus, and you find out about wiener poopies.
That's
some Ace investigative reporting.
It can't be real, man.
Next story, John. Family continues road trip after grandma dies. In a story reminiscent of the movie National Lampoon's Vacation, a family on a cross-country trip continued their destination after their 79-year-old matriarch died of renal failure. The family was traveling from Oregon to Arkansas and was in the Wyoming when the death occurred on Friday or Saturday.
In the
Hillsborough
Wyoming.
Police Department Lieutenant Mike Roaches said, they haven't broken any laws as far as me or anyone else has been able to determine. Chevy Chase is unavailable for comments. Next story, John. This is the next and last story. Emergency crews were called to help a beating victim in Westmoreland County Saturday after a bizarre attack between siblings. They said they responded to a report of a North Huntington Township woman bleeding from her head. When they arrived, they said they were shocked to find that the weapon was the victim's prosthetic leg.
Wow. I got audio of that.
Yes.
Here it is.
Returning to the story, the woman was hopping mad after her sister beats her with her own prosthetic leg. Police say Donna Sturkey Anthony took her elder sister's leg and beat her with it. They said Sherry Lynn Gibson was treated by emergency crews, and her sister was charged with assault and harassment. And that's the news, John.
So she's a one-legged woman?
Yes, a one-legged woman. She was hopping mad.
Was her name Eileen?
Yes, it was Eileen. Oh. Her sister, Eileen Sturkey Anthony. And that's the news. I'd like to thank Hugh Jorgens for submitting that report on Jesus.
No doubt.
And Wiener Poopy.
Here's a good idea. Have a point.
All right. Thanks for coming, Phil.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Later.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey. Yeah. What was that?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, one thing we didn't do. We were going to try to call Mr. Schmuel tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think he may have been upset by some comments that you and my wife had made in the previous podcast.
Me? I didn't say anything. I don't know what you're saying.
Because usually Mr. Schmuel's in contact with me.
Who is he upset with?
Every other day.
He's not upset with me then.
Maybe every other day.
He doesn't call me at all.
Maybe he doesn't want to call me, you know, because he doesn't want to yell about you, knowing that I would tell you about it.
Should we call him now?
Maybe he's avoiding me.
Should we call him now?
At 11:20?
Yeah.
No, okay. He gets up like at 4 a.m. to go to work.
All right, then.
So maybe next show, maybe 1:18.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll try to call him on air.
All right.
All right, John, that comes to a close. Ad hoc 117.
Yeah, no doubt.
Any final words?
No, I think, we got to talk about Tom Cruise. I don't know why we didn't spend a shitload of time on Tom Cruise.
We will next podcast. We might even have Tom Cruise come in.
Really?
Yeah, we've been in touch with David Miscavige of Scientology.
David Miscarriage?
To get Tom Cruise to come on our show and talk about Scientology. Plus, we have a lot of Tom Cruise celebrity news. We read the autobiography. We're going to give you the cliff notes on that.
Yeah.
And one other Tom Cruise story about, I don't have it in front of me, but it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Well, check out the tune from John Colton.
And once we get this posted, we'll update our homepage to include the links to all the things that we talked about on the show. Well, not all of them, just the ones I'm not lazy enough to to create a href for.
An href.
They took Dig down today.
Why?
And when it came back up, now when you click on the story, it opens up in its own browser, which
it's
is nice.
Time. Because I hate that fucking switch to the comments.
Yeah.
Drives me crazy.
Crazy insane.
It drives me Tom Cruise crazy.
That is crazy.
Tom Cruise crazy, my friend.
That's a great term. I mean, that's the craziest.
That's the name
Tom
of
Cruise
the song.
Crazy is the crazy. Like, even Bobby Fischer wasn't Tom Cruise
it's
crazy.
Like saying, it's like saying, going postal.
Now I think it's worse than going
now
postal.
It's Tom Cruise crazy.
I
was driving down the highway the other day and I fucking went Tom Cruise crazy, man. On this.
Oh, that happened to me today.
Yeah.
The horn in my wife's truck doesn't work. Yeah. And I was driving her truck.
And I love how I notice how you love to slam your hand hard as you can on the horn.
And leave it there. You know, one of those obnoxious long...
I mean, you could hear the whiff sound as your hand... you know, like when somebody whips a ball really hard, that... Or the sound of swinging it at a golf ball. That's the sound your hand makes, is it's coming from your hip to the horn on the steering wheel.
Well, I will use our new phrase in a sentence. Today I was driving, and I went crazy. And I went to hit the horn, and it didn't work.
And
then I went Tom Cruise
crazy.
That's right.
No doubt. Tom Cruise is Tom Cruise crazy. Boy, you timed that just right, man. If you had Tom Cruise's trouble.
trouble. You might be Tom Cruise crazy too. You'd flash your big white shiny smile.
All right, that's all the time we have for Total Talk Nonsense 117 ad hoc this week. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we're, I guess we're out of here, right?
Hey, are we going to try to schedule Gene Yass for next Sunday?
Yeah, yeah, I'll see what I can do.
All right, and let's let them know so that they can prepare.
Yeah, I'll send an
and
email
and we'll figure
tomorrow
out what we're going to do with them.
All right, 10-4 on that.
All right, so Gene Yass might be on the show next week.
Next
playing,
week.
Performing live.
Yeah. Live.
Next Sunday.
And we might even sit in with them.
We might.
Yeah.
So keep those predictions coming in, and we'll compile a prediction show at some point.
No doubt.
Which Scott will include Pat Robertson, Sylvia Brown, and John and Scott's
right
own predictions
right
for 2008.
All right, I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we're out of here. Later.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.